Hello and welcome. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. As always, our commitment is to deliver urologists and allied health professionals timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty. Our exclusive interviews bring expert analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives to help our listeners practice more efficiently. I'm your host and assistant editor, Janelle Hart. Today I'm speaking with Dr. William Lines. He discusses his own experience with burnout and suicide and what healthcare professionals should take away from his essay, The Last Day, published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. Lines is a retired urologist from the Southern California Kaiser Permanente Medical Group in Riverside, California. So how did you come to write The Last Day?
Well, you know, I'm a physician and a urologist. Also, what people don't realize is I'm a survivor of multiple suicide attempts. My story really begins after my residency, which ended in 1987 at Stanford. And from 1987 to 1998 or so, I had a really busy, happy, successful urologic practice at Southern California Kaiser Permanente in Riverside. And also family life, very active with my children. I have three sons and so forth. But in 1998, something horrible happened. I got septic shock after a vacation out of the country. And I spent 6 weeks in the intensive care unit. And then after that, about a year later, I had a snowboarding accident where I was again in the ICU and had to have a tracheostomy and five facial surgeries. And so these catastrophic events happened to me, and I would rehab and then go back to work. But when I did, things were just not the same. It was primarily depression. I've had depression in the past, but nothing like this. It was black. It was overwhelming. It was every day. There was nothing I could do to make it better. I started seeing psychiatry at that time, and they feel that I have bipolar II affective mood disorder. And I was introduced to the wonderful world of antidepressants and mood stabilizers, and also had multiple courses of electroshock or ECT therapy, but nothing really seemed to improve. And so on three occasions, I tried to take my life. And the last was in 2003, and it's chronicled in The Last Day, where I talk about my last day of medical practice. And just sort of an aside, the reason that I wrote that essay was that I went to I'm a fiction writer, and I went to a physician writing seminar in Taos, New Mexico, and met a fellow physician who had a story not unlike mine. And she had written an essay published in the Annals of Internal Medicine, which had given her a great relief to unburden herself. And she suggested that I do that. And so I wrote The Last Day, and it was published in the Annals of Internal Medicine. And sure enough, it really has helped me a lot.
So do you feel that mental health is adequately addressed for healthcare providers?
Well, certainly it's not. If you're talking about in training, in, for example, with me, medical school, I think I had maybe 1 or 2 month rotation of psychiatry. And, you know, it was mainly inpatient, severe psychiatric illnesses, schizophrenia, manic depressive illness, and that sort of thing. They certainly didn't address the stresses that you would face in practice. I really think that a whole maybe semester course in medical school dealing with that subject is more appropriate, dealing with the stresses and trainings of practicing medicine, I think would be much more appropriate.
And so how have the stresses of healthcare changed since your own experiences with suicidality?
First of all, I've been retired for 18 years. And so when people ask me this, I sort of feel like I'm not qualified to comment, but I've researched the subject and I've talked to plenty of physicians, and I'm a patient myself, so I can sort of see what's going on. But from the outside, stress in the medical profession seems to have only increased over that time. The root cause, I think, of most of the problems is the severe erosion of the patient-physician relationship. Big business now has taken over medical decision-making. Physicians are forced to compromise their healthcare decisions based upon that. I mean, for example, the EMR or the health, you know, electronic medical record, it's a benefit, but it's also a burden in that it contributes to the deterioration of this relationship with built-in algorithms and things like that. The other thing, lastly, is litigation is really out of control. As a surgeon, there wasn't a day that I didn't think about whether or not I could be sued for doing this. And it really is a problem. I think that tort reform is mandatory.
So in your opinion, what should providers look for in themselves and others in terms of signs of burnout and depression?
I think that we tend to not look at ourselves, but I think we could start with the three pillars of physician burnout described in the literature, which is loss of enthusiasm for work, a sense of overwhelming cynicism, and third, a low sense of personal accomplishment. I think that keeping attention to that, you can realize, well, you know, something's happened when you start developing those particular behaviors. I think that by the time a physician is dreading practice, it's really too late. And that's what happened to me, as I got to the point where it really was a dread. And I really had to retire in order to save my life, actually. I think that sort of a clue that a person might have problems is the absence of a well-rounded life in their medical practice. They should have a mixture of things. Though in my case, I was so busy with my medical practice, but I was also so busy with my children, with sports, with church, with community. I did everything just all out. And so there's a limit to that.
And lastly, Dr. Lyons, how can the healthcare profession and society better help providers who are suffering from burnout and depression?
Well, I think that we should go back to the sacred doctor-patient relationship. I think everything stems from that. Big business should not make clinical decisions better reserved for the exam room between physicians and patients. Ultimately, the physician must have input into the clinical environment. Physicians should take better care of their own personal needs, create some boundaries, as I mentioned, for a more balanced life. I've coined this term, the culture of overwork. And we're all sort of at risk for that. The culture of overwork means that, well, you overwork in school to get into medical school. You overwork in medical school to get into residency. You overwork in residency because you have to. And this sort of spills over into the physician's practice. And I think that we should realize as a group that we are at risk for this and keep it in mind. I think physicians should be willing to seek mental health care. There's a real stigma associated with that, and we have to do something to reduce that. Now, narrative medicine writing is a big thing for me because I write fiction, medical genre fiction, and you don't have to write novels, but narrative writing about your medical experiences in the form of a diary or a blog seem to be very therapeutic. Stress relaxers, of course, are important, you know, exercise and so forth. A big thing that I think affects a lot of physicians with burnout is financial problems. There is no, at least in my education, there was no formal training in financial planning, and this could be very, very helpful. I think that when you enter your practice, you should be told about early retirement options, which I, you know, really, really wasn't. I think also the judicious use of sabbaticals is important in practice. And that would have been really important for me because one of the things that really stressed me out was that there was new surgical modalities coming into urology at that time. For example, laparoscopic surgery. How do you learn to do laparoscopic surgery when you're just practicing on your own? I should have taken a sabbatical and actually been retrained in those things. It would have been helpful. So, but anyway, those are some of the things that come to mind.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. You can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.